he can be depended upon, that we are encouraged as a result of that. Now, we'd like to talk about the greatest perspective that we have. There are some great things that Christians have, and we could use many of these and probably even have a series lasting for weeks, but we want to look at three aspects of this evening. Because God's Word is truth, and because He has communicated to us, Christians have the greatest perspective. The child of God has the greatest perspective. There are blessings that only the child of God gets. People in the world do not get these. People who have rejected Him do not get these. They still get the sunshine and the rain and all of the have access to all material things. But there are some things that only the child of God receives. We have the only perspective that is valid concerning this life. The Christian knows and has access to the truth. John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." However, how do most people live? Most people are not living from the Christian perspective. They are living from a materialistic perspective, which means that their goal in life is to make money, perhaps live even more lavishly than what they are, experience more pleasure. Actually, a lot of the things that we were talking about in Ecclesiastes this morning. Many live according to the philosophy of the man in Luke 12, verses 19 through 21. You remember, he was going to tear down his barns and build greater barns. And he was saying to himself, "Eat, drink, you have it made, everything you've got in a material nature. And everything is fine," and Jesus says, "Except tonight your soul is going to be required of you, then will whose things will these all be?" And then Jesus summed it up by saying, "So is anyone who is concerned about this world's goods and is not rich toward God." And so being rich toward God is the blessing that Christians have and receive much in return for living from that perspective. One of the things that illustrates this was a song that was done several years ago. And in fact, I was surprised when we were having our trivia contest a few weeks ago that nobody remembered this song, or at least who did it. It illustrates the point that people under the sun, as we talked about this morning, are living from a material perspective. Ray Stevens did this song a number of years ago. He's more famous for things such as Ahab the Arab, Guitarzan the Streak, and several other comedic types of endeavors. But what we want to look at is the philosophy that many people are living by. And he discussed that in his song, "Mr. Businessman." Here are the words to that song. And by the way, I have used this before, but apparently it's been long enough that people have forgotten it. So I want to mention it again. "Itemize the things you covet as you squander through your life. Bigger cars, bigger houses, term insurance for your wife. Tuesday evenings with your harlot. And on Wednesdays, it's your charlatan analyst. He's high up on your list. You've got air-conditioned sinuses and dark, disturbing doubt about religion. And you keep those cards and letters going out. While your secretary's tempting you, your morals are exempting you from guilt and shame. Heaven knows you're not to blame. You'd better take care of business, Mr. Businessman. What's your plan? Get down to business, Mr. Businessman, if you can, before it's too late, and you throw your life away." Is that what people under the sun are doing? Did you see your children growing up today, and did you hear the music of their laughter as they set about to play? Did you catch the fragrance of those roses in your garden? Did the morning sunlight warm your soul, brighten up your day? Do you qualify to be alive? Or is the limit of your senses so as only to survive? Spending counterfeit incentive, wasting precious time and health, placing value on the worthless, disregarding priceless wealth. You can wheel and deal the best of them and steal it from the rest of them. You know the score. Their ethics are a bore. 86 proof anesthetic crutches prop you to the top, where the smiles are all synthetic and the ulcers never stop. When they take that final inventory, yours will be the same sad story. Everywhere, no one will really care. No one more lonely than this rich, important man. Let's have your autograph, endorse your epitaph. You better take care of business, Mr. Businessman. What's your plan? Get down to business, Mr. Businessman, if you can. Truly, this is the way many people in our society are living. They are disregarding the spiritual. Their lives are couched and hemmed in only by the physical. And of course, none of that is going to matter, as we'll see in a few moments. The perspective of the world is to have, to own, to possess worldly things. But the faithful child of God has a different perspective than those living under the sun. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. There's no hope in material things. There's no hope in accumulating material possessions. He's begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away. Have you not noticed that material things are subject to fading away, to disappearing, to being corrupt? Reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Here is another thing that the child of God has, not the accumulation of material wealth, but finally there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:8. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all those also who love his appearing. This is something that the child of God, the faithful child of God, has to look forward to. Revelation 21:4, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Now somebody might say, well, okay, that'd be nice later on. All of these things, hope, a place reserved in heaven, a crown of life, righteousness, no more pain. You know, those are all things, but what about the here and now? Well, it seems like to ask that question is to try to take us back and put us under the sun and only living in a material world. But there is an answer to that question, and the answer is we have a lot of things now that those who are material do not have and will never have, as long as they stay with that perspective. John 10 and verse 10, Jesus says, the thief does not come but to kill, to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Yes, there is eternal life, and surely the child of God is looking forward to that, but we have abundant life now. Now, I know when you see commercials on television, people sitting around toasting each other with beer, and they look real happy and all of that, that you're tempted to think, oh, this is what's really neat. This is what's really fun. Of course, they don't show you that, 2 minutes later, two of those guys are at each other's throats because they're intoxicated and they're not thinking clearly. You don't see that part in commercials. But the really abundant life is the life of a Christian. There is no more joy to be found anywhere else than what Christians possess. And they don't need artificial stimulants to be that way. We have God's promises, and these are a certainty for us. These are of a surety for us. We have life, and we have it more abundantly. And in fact, we're not having to worry about a lot of things that those who are living materially are going to be thinking about and worrying about. Then Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed is the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Children of God are concerned about those things. People who are living in just the physical realm alone could care less. They don't care about spiritual blessings. They have a craving for material things. And the accumulation of those as if there is some value in those things. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven. We have a place where we are citizens that is far better than earth. Okay, we're living here now. But that's temporary. Our real citizenship is in heaven. We may have a home here for 20, 30, 40, 50 years or more, but we have a home in heaven that we have forever. Nobody has to get a reverse mortgage in heaven. You got it. It's yours. The Lord is giving it to you. You are a citizen in that kingdom. Your citizenship can't be revoked in that kingdom. And so we look beyond the here and now, as Abraham did, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, you've probably visited some very interesting cities. There are some that have done some outstanding work in revitalizing their downtowns and areas like that. And tourists go there and they go, wow, this is really neat here. But there isn't anything better than this. Even the best of what man can do, as attractive as it might be, cannot compare with the city that has foundations. Everything on earth is temporary. Everything of a structure here on earth has to be repaired. Human beings have to be repaired. Sometimes. And so all of that is temporary here, but not where our real citizenship is. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, John 14, 1 through 3. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know, that's one of the great features. God will be there. Hell is defined by the fact that God is not there. That is one place he will not be. His grace will not be in that kingdom. It is all in heaven. And you, as a child of God, will be there with God and enjoy all of the blessings and benefits that He has always had in mind for you and in store for you. Only the Christian can anticipate these. Other people may sit there and count their money and maybe survey all of their lands and so forth. But these are eternal and cannot be taken away, lost, or seized by a government. All right. So these are things that a child of God has. Now, we want to next talk about the greatest expectations. We have the greatest perspective, keeping all of that in mind that we've talked about. We also have the greatest expectations of anyone. In Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, Jesus ascended into heaven. I think probably most people are familiar with this passage, but let's go and read it one more time. Now, when he had spoken these things, that is the last words that he said to his apostles, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Jesus will be coming someday. He ascended with the clouds to the Ancient of Days, Daniel 7, 13, and 14. But he's going to be returning in those clouds someday. And we know that now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But when he is revealed, when he makes this journey back to earth, not on earth, but to earth, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. There is going to be a special time, and that's what this refers to. And just to see it a little bit more closely, let's go to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. We read a moment ago that our citizenship is in heaven, but notice this part, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's referring to the same thing as what we looked at just a moment ago in Acts 1, 9 through 11. He's returning. We eagerly await his return. But now let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we have a little bit more of a description of that return. Beginning with verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now these are all things that are going to happen when he returns, at that time that we're going to be like him. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, did you notice? Jesus comes to the earth, but he doesn't come upon the earth. He comes to it and waits for everybody to rise up and join him in the air. And thus shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Those who believe the Bible do not expect Jesus to ever set foot on this earth again. we expect to join him in the air. And then again, we shall be as he is. He will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things to himself. And we will put on immortality. Paul has a lengthy section in 1 Corinthians 15 that deals with this. The point can mostly be summarized by this: for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Paul also writes in his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building with God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven." So we have the greatest expectations. We have the greatest perspective on how to live this life, what's involved with it, making it a spiritual life, not one just concerned with the material world, as so many people are doing. And we have the greatest expectations. Third, we have the greatest return on our investment. Now, some of you maybe just finished doing income taxes last week. Some of you are way ahead of me on that. Probably were done in January. But, you know, as you do that, you say, what kind of a return am I getting on my investment? And the reason you need to know that is because the IRS wants to know what kind of return you're getting on your investment. But taking that as an analogy, what are we getting in return for what we are giving? If those who are dominated by this world only, the things under the sun, here it is. Here's what you get when you invest in that realm. Ecclesiastes 1:14. "I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed, all is vanity and grasping for the wind." Does that sound like an investment you really, really want? That's what it's like investing in this earth and material things. But there's more. "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night," 2 Peter 3:10. "In which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth also and the things that are therein will be burned up." You see why Solomon was not excited about being the richest man ever up until that point? And, you know, he had gold, what was it, 666 talents of gold a year that came in, just more money than you can probably imagine. But it's all useless. It's a striving after the wind, and it's all going to be burned up. Oh, maybe someday there'll be a war between nations, or a war between moguls trying to divide up the world. Who knows? Maybe someday there'll be like three major areas of the world all trying to get the most that they can in their territories. Or maybe it'll be a financial thing where, you know, maybe three, four, five corporations are all vying to have the most there is in the world. But it's all going to be burned up, so what's the point? It's a striving after, a grasping for the wind, and it's all going to be burned up. You might have 55 banks when Jesus returns and be going over all of your assets just before they melt. Well, what good is that going to be? If your investment is in this world, that's what you get. However, if your perspective is that, as we have been discussing, then here's something that really matters from Revelation 14:13. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Isn't that a great thought? You know, all the money and the wealth you left behind, but your works, those go. The things that you have done, the souls that you have saved, are going to be there to greet you in eternity. All of the evangelistic work, all of the things pertaining to the Spirit of God, all of the classes taught, all of those types of things are actually going to produce fruit. The material things are going to be burned up, but those things abide because they are worthwhile and they are eternal. Romans 8:37, yet in all these things, whether we are in trials, whether we are in tribulations, whether we are battling difficult times, whatever it might be, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. That's the reward that a Christian gets. The reward of living in this world and only be concerned about these things in this world, a grasping for the wind, they're all going to be burned up. But look at the value of those things which we have done for God. We should not ever have an excuse as children of God to grow lazy. We should, if anything, be redoubling our efforts and trying to seek those who are lost in sin, because those things are going to abide forever. This evening, which emphasis have you been living by? I know most everybody here would say, well, I'm a Christian. That's an easy one to answer. Christians can get distracted too. Christians can become overly concerned about the things in this world because, let's face it, everybody who's not a Christian is usually interested in that. And there are a lot of things out there to serve as distractions. So we're not immune from thinking the way some of the others do. But let's make sure that we have put our emphasis in the place where we began as children of God. We must continually remain in that kind of thinking, anticipating the works that are going to go on ahead, and the fact that we are conquerors over all things this world has to offer. We are conquerors over Satan through Christ, and he will not be there in eternity to try to tempt us anymore. He will have been relegated to a different realm where God is not, but we will be where God is. If you need to obey the gospel to get out of the world, we invite you to come this evening. If you already know what you need to do, if you're ready to repent of your sins, confess Jesus to be the Son of God, and you're willing to be baptized to have your sins forgiven, we invite you to come. If you're already a Christian, don't be allured by these things that Satan keeps throwing up at us. Stay with where you resolved to be at one time in your life, with the spiritual, and anticipate the great things that are ahead. If we can help you in any respect, let us know while we stand and while we sing.